September 18, 2010. Well, hello, I am Tim Snyder, and I am doing this podcast for Blind Cool Tech. And this is the first podcast that I've ever done for Blind Cool Tech or for anyone else, actually. And so I thought I would do this podcast, and hopefully it'll come out all right. I'm actually going to talk about a device that I just got today and have done a little bit of testing on it. It's called NetTalk Duo. Now, NetTalk has been around. It was actually incorporated in May 1st of 2006. And they came out with the TK6000, which was, because they're not selling it anymore. It was a VoIP device, some sort of an adapter. And you purchased it apparently for $99.95 or something like that. You know, the four easy payments of $24.99 or whatever it was, probably $24.99. And that gave you unlimited calling, or free calling as they would call it. I don't think they use the word unlimited, but free calling as long as the device lasted. So there would be no annual charges, no monthly charges. As long as the device lasted, you got calls. Well, it's my understanding that the TK6000 worked okay, but it had problems that calls were dropped, the quality wasn't quite as good, faxing capabilities weren't available, and so they decided they needed to develop a new product, a new device, a new and improved device, and they did in developing the Duo. And the Duo was released in July. I think it actually debuted July 14 of 2010. Now, for those of you who are interested in stocks, it is actually a public company, and the symbol is NTLK. Now, it is a penny stock. In fact, it is a bulletin board stock, and it was trading, I think, at 26 cents the last time I checked the price, 26 cents a share. However, it's a very, very, very thinly traded stock. That means not many shares sell each day. In fact, I've noticed a couple of days where no shares traded. But for those who are interested in that sort of thing, at least you know that it is a publicly traded company, a bulletin board stock. And if you want to find out about the company, you can go to www.pinksheets.com, and there is a place you can type that ticker symbol in there, NTLK. And it actually will then provide some links for reports and company history and so forth. In fact, that's how I found out about that it was founded May 1st, 2006. But that's not really what I wanted to talk about. I just wanted to give you a little complete history for those of you who may be interested in such things and checking that out. What my interest is in what the device does. And at least for this podcast, that's what my interest is. I'm interested in looking at the company, but, you know, I don't know. I think it does have a ways to go before it becomes large. But they have got their adapter out now, and it's really a sleek, nice-looking little device. And I will give you a little history of why or how I got interested in it. I use another device, and by the way, let me say that if I mention any company's devices or whatever, that is not to necessarily recommend them or necessarily demean them or provide negative comments about them. I'm just reporting my experience. But I was using a device called the Magic Jack, and I had used it. I had had some success with it. In fact, I was in Honduras and I was able to call back to the United States using my Magic Jack local number, and it worked relatively well. but it did take up processing, computer processing power. And sometimes it would take a while to get the program to open up in on my computer and then get the connection to be made and so forth. And I'd also heard a couple of reports that Magic Jack, if they deemed that you used it too much, they would just cut you off, just block it, and it would not work. So my renewal time was drawing near, and I was growing concerned. Do I really want to put out a lot of money to renew? And ultimately, I did decide to renew for one more year. That would give an extra line here at the office. And so I said, that's great. I'll just give it one more try. But I really shied away from the five-year plan because of the concern that, and I actually verified this through a telephone communication. You can only communicate with Magic Jack, at least ordinarily. So I think I saw a number on the net for him, but I never have dialed it. However, the only way you generally can communicate with Magic Jack is through the computer chat system, live chat system that they have. And sometimes that can become difficult and time-consuming, and you can't get the information you want to get. And so if everything's working well with Magic Jack, it's fine. But when things start to have problems, then concerns arise. So these kind of things were going through my mind as I was knowing that my renewal time was growing near. And so I began to look on the internet to see, are there any alternatives? And this is when NetTalk popped up. And somebody said, well, I just decided to go for my Duo, and I've been happy ever since. So I thought, well, let me check this out. I'll call and inquire about it and try to figure out what to do. I was already using another VoIP and rather happy with that. Of course, that comes with monthly payment, monthly billing, etc. Similar to the phone company, perhaps a little bit less expensive, but you're still into the monthly. So I ultimately decided to order the NetTalk and give it a try. And so I did. Now, let me talk about the ordering experience. First thing I did is I called 800-987-2262. And that's their sales line. Their sales line is a 24-hour-a-day line. You can call at any time, night or day, and get someone on the phone. And they'll tell you a little bit about the product, but if you get into more of the technical issues, like, for example, how long it has voicemail, but how long is your voicemail outgoing message? Well, they don't really know. There's other things that they don't know. One, they can tell you that they cannot port numbers. That's a very important thing for you to know. They presently cannot port telephone numbers that you have from other places, but they're working on it. And you say, when will they be ready? Well, if you talk to sales, they're excited about it. Oh, we're working on it, and hopefully by December, we'll be able to port numbers. But then if you talk to people in the tech support or customer service side, well, yes, we're working on it, but we don't really have information. It might be a year. So I think the salespeople are a little excited. I don't think they're giving false information, but I do think they were a little excited and optimistic. But if it happens by December, that'll be great. So that's the first thing I realized, that if I wanted to keep the number that I've got using the service I have to keep that service for now. If I want it to be an active number, I cannot port the number. So the second thing I wanted to know is, can I use it like I use the Magic Jack? Now, here's what is attractive about the Magic Jack. If you are traveling in a hotel room, going to a hotel, for example, which I do from time to time, they're going to where they have wireless internet instead of having, they used to have where you plugged in your cable to their Ethernet, to their system. You plug your Ethernet cable into their system and you're ready to go. But they don't have broadband wired broadband anymore. They just depend on the wireless. So you can't plug a phone adapter into their internet and use it in that fashion. So that's the way I was using Magic Jack. I was plugging that in the computer, picking up the internet wirelessly, and then plugging the telephone into the other end of the Magic Jack. And then I would be able to make calls most of the time, hopefully. So that's one of the first questions I asked, and they said, well, yes, you can do that. And in fact, I learned today, I had the impression you always had to have it plugged in, whether it was plugged into the computer or plugged into the into your router or modem. But in fact, that's not true. When you plug it in directly to the computer, your USB, your computer actually powers the device, the NetTalk. So the only time you plug in this device is when you have a router. I'm not going to go through, nor do I remember all the questions that I had, because I was really, I knew that when I got it, that yes, I did have a 30-day free trial. However, I knew that I'd be risking my $9.95 shipping, which is what it costs for shipping, and I would have to pay for the shipping back. So if this really wasn't a plausible thing for me to do, if it wasn't really going to meet my needs, what was the point for me to waste $20 in getting the device and then having to ship it back? Because that, I figured roughly $15, $20 is what I would be putting into it. And just for interest, see, that would pay for a whole year of the Magic Jack. So I wanted to be sure that there was a reasonable expectation that this would meet my needs and would do what I was hoping that it would do. So finally, after questions and after making enough calls to where I had all the answers that I needed, I decided to go ahead and take the plunge and order one. Now, it was $69.95, but I said to one of the people, isn't there the best you can do? Is that the best? Isn't there, can't you do a little better than that? You know, sometimes it does pay to ask questions. And they said, well, we do have a 10% off promotion advertised that they'll let us do. So if you don't ask them, you won't get it. You'll pay $69.95. Now, I don't know how long that promotion lasts. It may be gone by the time this podcast is placed up there on BCT. But on the other hand, it may be available. So it doesn't hurt to bring up that 10% discount promotion in the event that they still have it. And that took that down to about $62.95. So that took about $7 off of the price. But then you added $9.95 shipping, and so it took the total up to $72.90. So what do you get for $72.90? You get the device and you get a year of service. The company decided apparently that it was best for them not to sell the device like they did with the TK6000 and just say, buy the device and you get service forever as long as the device lasts. Not forever, but as long as the device lasts. When the device breaks, you have to get you a new device. Well, now they've done it differently. They've said, you buy the device, you get your first year of service, and when you renew, it's $29.95 for the year. That's the current pricing. I'm not aware that they have anything like you could pay ahead. They don't seem to have multi-year discounts like Magic Jack does. I think Magic Jack has like a, used to be $59.95. They've gone up now to $69.95 for their five-year plan. So I ordered and I was looking forward to getting it, and finally the box came in the mail. So now I want to break into the box and let you know about that. In my box, I received well, it came in a, of course, we have the shipping box, and inside the shipping box was another box. So at the bottom of the shipping box, there was my statement that showed what the charges were and the shipping slip. Then in my box, as I opened it, I found various items. There's a bag that has air in it. I guess they wanted to protect their shipping. There was a card, and it says something like, "Welcome to Freedom, Freedom Communication," or something. I don't know why they put that on there. That's the only thing that somebody read to me that the card said. So I really don't see the point of that. But it's there. Then I also, there's a little sheet of paper in there, and it talks about 911 service. These people do offer the 911 service. And it basically said, you need to sign up with your for your 911 service within 30 days of service. If you don't fill out that 911 agreement, then you have a chance that your account will be terminated. So I'm not sure what kind of regulation calls them to do that, but I guess they're doing their part to make sure that everyone is covered with 911 service. Now, the next thing we have is the power adapter. Remember I said that you needed the power adapter when you plug the device directly into a router or modem. I would assume you primarily would plug it into some sort of router, but anyway, this is a regular two-prong adapter, two-prong power supply that you would plug in. And the other end of the power adapter, there is a place for a miniature USB miniature cable. Now, I don't know if any miniature USB cable would work just fine or if it has to be the standard one that this company provides. So that's something that one might could check out to see that if they used anyone, would that be okay? Okay, as we continue on in the box, there is a styrofoam looking. I don't know that it's necessarily styrofoam, but it's covering the device itself. Now the device. Let's see. Get it back in here. The device is And I don't know, there's a folded up pamphlet sort of thing in print on that's basically stuck on there with the device. I would guess this to be some sort of quick start guide or instructions. There is a PDF quick start guide, and you're actually taken to that as you go through the install process. And I will talk about the install process and registration as we continue onward. But I think this is probably the printed copy of the Print Start Guide. And while I am married with a sighted wife, she reads some things for me, but I just try to keep what she has to read to a limit because she's very busy with the things that she's doing and doesn't need me to pile all that stuff on her. Plus, I like to do things myself. That's just the way I feel about it, just as anybody else would. Now we have the device, and at one end of the device, you have two things. And by the way, when you get the device, there's these little plastic sort of pieces that are covering it, protective pieces, and you just peel those off. They're to keep it from scratching, being scratched. So you peel those off. Anyway, at this end, there is a, if you hold it up so that as you feel the front of the device, when you get toward the bottom, when you're holding it up so that the phone adapter and the Ethernet adapter is pointing upward to the sky, and you run your hand across on the front, you'll feel toward the bottom, it began to slope. So that's the way I'm holding it to give you the orientation. And so now I'm going to turn it as if you were laying it on a table, on its back. You'll see at the top, you'll see a, on the left side, you'll see the Ethernet port. That's where you'd plug it in to your router with the Cat5 cable. And then to the right of that, you see your phone jack, where you would plug your phone in. Now, I've not experimented. One thing I haven't done that I'd like to see how it would work with is plugging it in so that you can also have phone extensions all over the house. And I think perhaps there's a way to do that if you have a splitter that plugs in this device, from this device to the phone line. And then the other, you'd have a phone cable to do that. And then the other part of the splitter, you'd plug your phone extension into that. But I've not experimented with that just yet. But the point I'm making is you do only have one phone jack. You don't have a line jack for the phone line and then a phone jack for your extension. So if you needed to have extensions all over the place, you'd have to look at a way to be able to do that. But if you only want one phone that runs off this jack and no extensions or anything, you would simply plug your phone into this device. Now, at the other end, there is a USB port, and it's a full-size USB, not a mini, but a full-size. And then there's supposed to be a reset button here, which I have not really, and apparently you might use a paperclip or something to reset, but I've not had any need to even try to find that. I think I've, with my fingernail, I think I've located where that is, but I've not really even tried to do that because there's been no need. Now that's the device itself. Now, also in the box, something you have to be very cognizant of, along with that 9/11 notice of registering 9/11 within 30 days, is a sticker. Now, this sticker has your username and your password. It's a long series of numbers for a username and a long series of numbers for a password. Now, this is a question that you're going to, I happen to have my wife to read these because that was, I figured that was minimal reading. And so she read the username and the password, and I was able to write those down, and I was able to log on to the site. I went to nettalk.com, and where it said log in, I logged in so that I could register. So that could potentially be a problem. What could you do? How, if you didn't have any sighted assistance, how would you find out what your username and password are? And I don't know if technical support could tell you. There's also a MAC address, as they call it, on this device. And for them to help you, they say they need that MAC address. But once again, the problem you run into is you need vision to see the MAC address. So I wrote down what I thought was a MAC address just to have it, but I did not use it. As of yet, I have not had to use that MAC address. But those are things to keep in mind. Now, but be sure you keep that sticker and watch out for that sticker so that it doesn't slip out of the box and you don't know where it is, because that is the user in login information. For the first time login. Now there is a cable, and that has a regular USB on one end and the mini USB on the other end, the smaller one. And the mini portion of the USB goes into your power adapter. The standard size goes into the NetTalk Duo. If you use it in a computer, they do not provide a cable with normal USB plugs on each end. So you would have to provide that for yourself if you use a computer with it. This USB is provided when you want to use the power adapter. And finally, at the bottom, you have a Cat5 cable that they provide with it. and that goes from the Cat5 plugin, the plugin on your NetTalk device, to the router that you're plugging it into. So now I'll talk about the registration process. Now I'm doing this from memory. I would have liked to have taken you originally, but I didn't know I was going to do the podcast when I first started this. I just had this idea after I did the test. So what you do first is you log in. You don't have to have the device plugged up to do this. You can have this device in the box. You log in with the username and the password provided. And then the registration process, as they would like to say, is in three easy steps. And first you give some basic information, email address, your name for the account, your email address, and there may be something else. I don't remember exactly what, but there is one thing, yes. You fill out the information. Everything is easy except one thing that they do have that I know we all gets on our nerves very greatly, and that is a CAPTCHA. So they want you to enter in the figures with the image. And no, they do not have an audio CAPTCHA. They do not have an audio alternative. So now these would be questions that you could ask. I mentioned their sales office is opened 24 hours a day. Their technical support is open Monday through Friday, and then it is open Saturdays until 4 o'clock Eastern. The customer service is only open Monday through Friday. The company is based in Miami, Florida, but it seems that the customer service is in California. Why it's different, I don't know. Maybe it means they contract with another company. But anyway, so what I would advise you to do, if you're interested, get all the numbers, the customer service, technical support. The sales can give you all of those numbers. But that's a question might want to ask is, you know, since I can't see the CAPTCHA, can someone on the phone set up my product for me? And remember, the two things you're going to run into is, well, the three things. One is, I don't know what the MAC address is of the product because I cannot see it. It's written in print somewhere. And secondly, you've got a little piece of paper, a sticker with a username and password, but I can't read that either. And thirdly, how are we going to handle that CAPTCHA? And if they can answer those three things for you, then, and if they can solve those, then you will need no sighted assistance to set this up. But if they cannot do that, then you likely will need some sighted assistance, at least to accomplish those three things. So when you do enter that information, including the CAPTCHA and your email and so forth, you press continue, then you go to step number two. And step number two is the 911 form. And I zoomed on down. Don't make the mistake I did. I zoomed down and I put my street address, the whole thing. And then I saw where I could select street. So I selected street and I went back up and deleted street from where I placed it. And then I skipped one that said, it was some other thing that I didn't need to put, like apartment number or something, and then town and state and zip and so forth. And then I hit continue. I said, oh, I'm ready. Well, the error message came back. Nope, you didn't fill out all the fields. And so I went back up and I said, and I noticed after on a second review, oh, in this top box, they just want your street number. They don't want you to put the street name. So it looks like they've got all the it's a combination of filling out edit fields and going through combo boxes to choose the right selection. So I went back and corrected it and put my just my street number in the first block. And then it was a snap from there. I went on through the combo boxes and all that stuff. And then I read the 9/11 disclosure that they have, and I won't go all through that, but you just need to read it carefully. And they talk about if your power's off, it won't work, and that sometimes they may route it to a national center. And so if you're concerned, hey, you know, my local company, my local phone company, they can get to the 911 quicker than this VOIP. That it could be my local phone number will never route me to a national center. Maybe this VOIP will. Well, that's something that you really need to have peace about. And I felt that, you know, there's probably plenty of ways of calling 911. There's cell phone. I have tried with the service I'm using now, which is a VOIP. And when I had to call 911, it went through just fine. So I don't have any reason to believe that the VOIP services don't work well, but that is something that you just need to be aware of and know what you're getting with each company. So then at the very bottom, there's a checkbox, which of course is unchecked, that you basically saying you understand all that. And so you have to check that box and then you continue. And then you have the final step of the registration process. The final step is choosing your number. Now, just because you live where you live doesn't mean you have to choose that number. You could pick any. Well, the only choice I was given was the United States. I understand they may have a few Canadian numbers, but I wasn't given any Canadian choice. The only country I could choose was the United States. So then I chose my state. And then when I chose my state, they gave me several area codes. And then I chose my area code. And then I chose they have the town listed and the digits, the first three digits of the number for that town that it's local to. In my case in North Carolina, they had Raleigh and Durham and Chapel Hill and just various numbers. So I chose what I wanted. Now, this was the one disappointment. You do not get to pick your number. You get randomly assigned a number. Now, they say if you don't like that, you can go and change that number, and there's no cost to changing the number. But, you know, I don't know how long or how many times. They could not quote me a limit. Like, you could change your number 20 times, I suppose, until you were happy with it. They said there is no limit currently, and I don't see how they can keep on letting it be that as this company grows. However, once you do change that number, they said you lose that first number forever. No getting it back. So that was the only thing I was disappointed about, is that I could not just type in and click, you know, check this number and then for it to say, okay, this number's available. So because, you know, if it's given at random, what's the chance that you're going to like the next number they give you or the next one or the next one? So my recommendation, unless you say, I cannot live with this number, I just can't abide it, then stick with it, but just know that you can change it if you want to change it. Or if, let's say you're going to go somewhere for 3 months and want a local number, you can certainly change to another local number in another area. But keep in mind, once you change, you lose what you had. And when you come back to that original area, you'll have to get you a new number, and you won't get that first one. Of course, I made the suggestion to the company that it'd be nice if you could, say, store maybe 3 to 5 numbers that you could block out for yourself. And that way, if you moved around to places needed different numbers, you wouldn't lose that first number that you had. So anyway, that you complete that, and once you pick your number, pick your three-digit, pick your town, you know, you've got your area code, then you pick your town. Once you do that, it begins to find your number. And I was thinking, I'm not sure if I did I may have done a continue button after I chose my town. But it immediately started the search process and then came back and told me, thank you, I was accepted, and your number is, and it gave me my number. And then this is very important. On that same page, it said, consult the quick start guide to learn how to set up your device, getting on, you know, get it on the network and so forth. So learn how to set up your device with your router. So there is a link right there that says download the PDF file. So I was delighted that they provided that, and I didn't have to depend on that little thing that I mentioned earlier, that little pamphlet that was taped to the package that came with the storage package that came with the device. So I pressed enter on that, and of course the thing about the document, decoding the document, kicked in, and I went to start, and it's only a two-page document, and so you can scroll down and read the document. Now, it's not presented exactly only as text. You have to go down and hear a lot of other extraneous stuff, but you can figure out what they're telling you to do. And basically what they're telling you to do is this, and I decided to they told you how to do it with hooking up to a router and how to do it with a computer. And I decided to do the router part first. So they said what you do is you plug the Ethernet cable into that port. You plug your telephone into that telephone port. Then you plug your at the other end, you plug the USB in, and then you can plug the cable into your router. So now you've got it plugged up except for power. Then you plug the USB port, USB into the USB port, which is at the other end of the device. And then you plug the mini end of the USB into your power adapter. And then you plug your power adapter into your power source. Now, at that point, it will begin to try to connect to the network. And in about 10 seconds, maybe even less, maybe 5, but very shortly, you will hear your phone ringing. It will actually call you. And when you pick up, you'll hear a dial tone. At that point, you're registered. You can make calls. Your device is recognized on the network, and you're able to make calls. Now, it may be obvious. I don't know if they send you. They do give you opportunity on their website to sign up for their email alerts about changes or announcements or whatever. And when I ordered, they took my email address. So I'm hoping when I signed up, I don't get two alerts, you know, two notices for everything. I'm hoping they realize it's just one. I did recently check my email and have not received a notice telling what my new number was. I did receive a notice saying that my username had been changed. It did give the new username that I chose during registration, but it did not give password information. I went on ahead immediately and wrote down what my number was so that I would not forget it. Now, that may seem obvious, but you know, some people may rush through excitedly and not write their number down. And then, you know, 30 minutes later, you say, what was my number? So just a suggestion there. Now, I made a call to my daughter and got a little teasing from my wife and about, I'm really not concerned about her welfare. I just want to play with my toys. So anyway, maybe I am concerned about her welfare, but maybe I wanted to play with the toy also. I don't know. Anyway, but I did want to call and find out how it worked. And it did work well, as well as other VoIPs that I've experimented with, or that at least as well as the VoIP that I have now. Now, I want to mention quickly that there is a, you can use it with a computer, plugging it directly in from USB port to the computer. Once again, that cable is not provided a full USB connector to a full USB connector. So you'd have to provide that. Now, you must, before you connect the device to your computer directly, you go to the nettalk.com website, go to the downloads, press enter on the downloads link, and then download the proper driver for the PC. According to the company, It will not work on a Mac at this time. And according to the directions, you download a zip file, you unzip that file, and then press enter on the .exe file to install the driver. Then once the driver is installed, you can plug up the device and it connects to the network and then rings your phone back to let you know that it's connected. I did not test this, so I don't yet know how it works on the PC, but I'm looking forward to testing it at some point. And it also is said to work with Windows 7 as well as Windows XP. And I tell you the way I made it work for me, and I'm getting to the end here now because that's, you know, when I called her, it basically sounded like Vonage. To give some comparison, maybe a little better, maybe about the same, I don't know, but definitely I think it definitely sounded better quality than Magic Jack. Like I say, I'm not knocking that product. I'm just saying what my experience has been thus far. And this has only been today. Today's the first day I've gotten it. So I'm going to use my 30 days to try it. But if it goes like today, I'm going to keep it. Now, what I did, the way it worked for me, of course, your carriers have unlimited plans. But what I decided to do was pull back to a cheaper plan, the cheapest plan I could get, which is unlimited incoming minutes, but limited number of outgoing minutes. So I will use this device to make my outgoing calls, or at least I'll make a good number of them, and then use the other device for my incoming calls as needed, since I've got two devices. And not only that, I'll have two phone lines. For example, somebody's using the one phone line, then I've got the option for another. So that's also another benefit. But that's how I made the device, in my own mind, you know, pay for itself. Because if I have the cheaper plan in my original VOIP, if I use a lot more minutes, I'm going to spend more money anyway. In fact, I was spending more money. And so this was a way that I could hold down the cost. So the worst case scenario is I use this device to hold down the cost and they can't ever port numbers. And so I just have two devices, two phone lines. That's the worst case scenario. And of course I can always keep it like that if I want to and only pay, assuming prices stay the same, $29.95 a year. The device, they told me, I have not seen this in writing, but they told me this device has a 1 year warranty. So that's good news as well. If they get to where they can port numbers and I decide the service is just as good, then I can cancel my service I have to pay something every month for, and I can port my number, and I can have this be my primary phone instead of having the other VOIP being my primary phone service. And then if I'm missing another line, I could always buy another one. Or if I keep the Magic Jack, I can use the Magic Jack as a backup alternative. So I hope this has been an interesting podcast. It's been longer. This has been my first one, and perhaps it stretched out longer than it should have. I don't know, but maybe you like the folksy way of doing this. I wanted to give you my experience, and I wanted to talk about various aspects because I know that many people listen to these podcasts, and you come from various places, have various interests, have various needs. If you got plenty of money, you might not need something like this. But I think there's a lot of people with limited resources, and this may be, underline maybe, this just may be the thing that you've been looking for. In fact, I have asked them, do you cut people off? Is there limited resources? Now, I've not pressed customer service on it. I think I mainly asked the salespeople. And I may jingle customer service and ask them just to see what they say. Remember the experience I had with the other device, and they said, yes, we will And not only did they tell me they'd cut it off, I said, well, can you cut it back on after a period of time? They said, no, we cannot cut it back on. I said, well, do you give a warning when you cut it off? This is not this device. This is Magic Jack. They said, no, we don't give a warning. The system just does it. So really got me to thinking. And I just feel like that a lot of people may benefit from a device like this. So thank you for listening. I hope it was beneficial to you. The only apology I may have is that it was too long and I may have seemed rambling. But maybe some of you enjoyed anyway, and it gives you some ideas and some things to look for. So all the best to everybody. And Larry, if you decide to post this, I want to thank you for it. And I want to thank you for starting BCT and for the work that you've been doing with it. I know it's a lot of work, and I appreciate you doing it, and you really come across well and very friendly, and I appreciate that as well. And if anyone needs to contact me with any questions, you feel free to call 919-635-1000 and just ask for Tim. So thanks a lot, and everyone have a wonderful day.